This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
What does the research show? Dr. Kurt Hegman is here. He is a doctor and also the director of the Rocky Mountain Center for Occupational and Environmental Health at the University of Utah, joining us on today's podcast. And he has definitely done some research and has some interesting information to share with us. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Well, all right, let's get into it. And we might just maybe warn our listeners that some of the information that you're going to share today may be not something that some of our listeners may want to hear. And I say that because you're going to challenge some maybe tried and true accepted practices in physical therapy that you're finding may not be borne out by the literature.
Well, I would say that on the optimistic side, healthcare is always challenging, and there are a lot of things that we do which are really art and not science. And not surprisingly, when we completed this project, looking at a comprehensive review of the literature for the hip, we in fact found that for many things that we do, there is insufficient evidence. In other words, there's not moderate or high-quality evidence for what we do. That doesn't mean it's ineffective, but it does mean we certainly need to do some research to make sure that what we are doing is in fact effective so we can optimize the care of patients.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning then and explain to our listeners exactly what you did in this study that has just recently been concluded.
Sure, thank you. What we did is we took a look at the literature, all of the moderate and high quality literature for about a dozen major topics dealing with the hip. Specifically everything from osteoarthrosis and fractures to dislocation, impingement, and so forth. And so what we did is comprehensive literature searches to grab the high-quality evidence, then grade that evidence, critique it, compile it into evidence tables, and ultimately put it through a panel of experts, including Dr. McDonald, and then to go to external peer review and to produce guidance. And ultimately, this came from over 1,000 studies altogether.
Right. And your study was published where? Or has it been published yet?
I'm sorry?
Has it been published yet?
Yes. Okay. It's been released electronically, and this is the American College of Occupational and Environmental Medicine's practice guidelines.
Okay.
And the print version will be out in October this year.
Okay, very good. So what is the conclusion, or what did you find that might relate to physical therapists and how they are treating their hip patients?
So if we want to look at some of the specific treatments applied, for example, simple things, cold and heat, cryotherapy and so forth,
mm-hmm.
For most of these settings, there is not quality evidence that they're effective. The exception primarily is in the operative arena, where there is a little bit of evidence. Now, with respect to exercise, if we look at that for...
Well, hang on. Let's go back now to the cold and the heat. We just kind of dropped a little bomb there. So you're finding that cold and heat, and there must have been some in the research, some reason that clinicians were using cold and heat on these hip patients. Was it to decrease edema? Was it to increase range of motion? What were the issues that were being looked at, and how are we saying now those are found to be ineffective?
Well, thank you for that clarification. I'm not saying they're ineffective. We
okay.
found lack of evidence of efficacy.
Okay.
Very different issue. Yeah,
okay, great.
Okay, so these things are still recommended, but it's a big difference between insufficient evidence recommendations
mm-hmm.
and there's evidence of efficacy.
Okay.
And so that's primarily where we're at that. And thank you very much. It's a very important clarification.
Okay, because as you know, the American Physical Therapy Association is pushing evidence-based physical therapy very hard right now. So most physical therapists out there are trying to practice based on evidence. So what you're saying is that the evidence is lacking in for hot and cold right now.
In nearly all situations, nearly all diagnoses, that is correct. And okay. part of this is because it's such a cheap and inexpensive thing, mm-hmm. and it's been done forever, and we desperately need quality randomized controlled trials. And that's something physical therapists could get involved in. It would be immensely helpful mm-hmm. to us.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and then I stopped you. You were then going on to exercise.
Yes. Sorry about going quickly.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's fine. We're there's a lot of meat here, as I understand it, in your study, and a lot of information, which I'm assuming has only caused more questions and more potential research that needs to be done.
Yes, exactly. And that's the really exciting thing about it, is to actually highlight where is there evidence and where is lack of evidence mm-hmm. and so forth.
Okay.
So with respect to exercise
okay, yeah.
and arthritis, for that one, we're seeing a kind of a same pattern that we saw in the back. There's a lot of emphasis on range of motion and flexibility. And if you actually look at the evidence really suggests actually aerobic exercise and strengthening exercises are the main things for hip arthritis patients.
And why? And do you summarize or have any conclusion as to why that might be?
I suspect it has to do, and this is now into speculation on my part, I think it has to do with the issue that those are the main issues for function. Those are the main issues for what you can do day to day. Those are the main issues for pain control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that stretching is not ineffective. And in fact, may be very necessary, especially when there's limitation in motion to a degree that affects function. But the dogma that we need to make everybody the same flexibility when we didn't start out that way is probably not correct.
Hmm. So, okay, and so now were those the two primary areas that you looked at, the hot and cold, doing exercises with these hip patients? Were there any other categories or areas?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now, of course, we've looked at testing. We've looked at medications, and, mm-hmm. and we've looked at glucosamine and other things that may come up in the course of discussions with patients.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also looked at things like aquatic therapy, for which there's not evidence of efficacy, but we think is still recommended for certain circumstances. And we've looked at things like weight loss and surgery. We've looked at ultrasound, electrical therapies, numerous categories. So
wow.
pretty much anything you can think of, we in fact did try to find evidence. Manipulation, I should mention as well, since
mm-hmm.
there is some evidence of efficacy.
So was there anything, and I may not be asking this question correctly because it may not be this simple, but was there anything that you found where there was, anything in physical therapy where there was evidence to back up what therapists are doing?
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Very important point. So I mentioned two things. These are B or moderate grade evidence for aerobic exercise and treatment of hip arthritis patients uh-huh. and strengthening exercise in terms of hip arthritis patients.
Okay.
Those are two letter grade recommendations. Then I would add in cryotherapy for hip arthroplasty surgery patients. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so that's basically an inpatient type thing.
Yeah.
Preoperative education programs for hip arthroplasty is a B grade recommendation.
So now that is a program that a patient has put on prior to having a hip replacement?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And there's also evidence for exercise in terms of the pre- and post-surgical patient settings. And so that's very important, too, really. These are B's and C's. We don't have A-grade evidence, but that's okay. You know, we're happy with getting evidence that some of these things are effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that particularly emphasizes, again, the function, though. These programs that are most effective, the trials that have been most effective, have emphasized function, have pushed walking earlier, have pushed going up and down stairs earlier. Now, it's important, of course, to work with the surgeon, who knows the bone quality and how much the patient is expected to tolerate.
Right.
But there there is evidence of efficacy for these things, for example, especially the first 6 weeks postoperatively.
Yeah. Now, as a physician, you told me earlier before we went on the air that you work with members of your team. You have physical therapists and PTAs that are part of your team there in the center. Have you instructed them post-release of your study, have you instructed them to treat patients differently based on the information you now know?
Thank you. Yes, not in terms of this specific hip thing yet. I have to actually go talk with Jared any minute on these subjects. But each time we've done a body part, I have in fact had to change practice, my own practice.
Uh-huh.
And when we have asked physicians, and we've asked over 1,000 physicians, orthopedists, family physicians, occupational medicine physicians, et cetera, what the quality of evidence is and what is effective and ineffective, very basic questions, 100% of them cannot get three questions right, okay, which suggests the entire healthcare medical field needs to change. And
wow.
So, in fact, the answer is yes. I take the information and I go talk with Jared, and we have to make changes in how we're handling patients. And the difficult challenge is, of course, we have to reprogram our own memory. We have to change our practice patterns. And each time we prescribe something, we have to stop and say, now, wait a minute, is this right anymore? Because we're used to that pattern of doing things the same each time. And it is challenging, at least for me, to change the practice pattern.
Right. And Jared, just for our listeners, is most likely your director of physical therapy?
Yes. In the clinic, that's exactly his position, and he oversees the PT aides, and he's about 100 feet down the hallway and is so invaluable to have the ability to work as a team in one location.
Right, right. So just in summary then here, we are at the end of our time together, Doctor. Could you give me a takeaway, something that you would like physical therapists to know about the research that you've done and maybe a little bit of advice how they might work with their own referring physicians as you would ask your therapist to work with you based on this information?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I think the biggest takeaway points are many of the things that we are doing do not have good evidence of efficacy. And this is not just a physical therapy question.
Mm-hmm.
This is true in medical and surgical realms. And I think the challenge for us is to actually get involved in trying to move the science forward. And the second challenge is to pick up the phone, walk down the hall, and begin to work better as team members to move the care of our individual patients down the road further, faster. And we have seen positive benefits from doing this, and I'm sure others will as well. So it is an interesting time we live in, and I much appreciate the opportunity to discuss this with you.
Oh, yeah, and we appreciate you helping us to get the information out to all of our listeners. If someone wanted more information, is it possible to receive a copy of the study online or a summary or an abstract somehow?
The guides are available online.
Mm-hmm.
They are currently released, the HIP chapters, online.
Uh-huh.
It is available for purchase. To be honest with you, we have about $5,000 a month in interlibrary loan charges.
Okay.
But so there is a charge for that. The print version is coming out in October. That will have every body part musculoskeletal updated.
But if someone wanted to purchase, would you sell, if someone maybe wanted to either facilitate their own research that's ongoing or just really wants to try and find out what your study showed, is that possible or not?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
ACOEM.org. ACOEM.org.
Got it. Okay. All right. And we will actually put that in a blog posting as well, should someone want to somehow gain access to the information in this research. And certainly if you have any questions that are specific to Dr. Hageman, all you need to do is send me an email to feedback@PTTalker, and I will be happy to pass that on. That way we will not inundate you, Doctor, with questions that we might be able to handle in some other way. So I want to thank you. This information is very valuable. It seems to me that you've really just opened another door here for more research that needs to be done and more analysis.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, joining us today was Dr. Kurt Hegman, MD. He is the Center Director for the Rocky Mountain Center for Occupational and Environmental Health. Finally, at the end of the podcast, I got that out. That is all part of the University of Utah, doing a lot of great research there, treating patients every day, along with a team of physical therapists and physical therapy assistants. So, Dr. Hegman, thank you again for joining us. And I want to remind all of our listeners that it is possible to hear previous episodes of PT Talker. They are available from iTunes, or you may go to our website at www.pttalker.com. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.